The Board of Education meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Mrs. Stecker, would you call the roll?
Here.
Mr. Bondrak?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, here.
Mr. Powers?
Yeah, here.
Mr. Glass?
Here.
Here.
Here. There is no one from the public present to provide public participation, so we will move up over that. One quick point of information that is about later in the meeting, our closed session, which we're going to go into. Ann called about a half an hour ago. She is just on her way back home. Her husband had to have some hand surgery today, which was already planned, but it went longer than they expected. So she is not comfortable leaving him at home while he's still coming out of anesthesia, et cetera. So we have a couple of options. She said that she would be willing to call in, and I set up the phone with speaker so we could have her call in on that. Todd will be able to come and be present. Or she said it's up to the board. If you want to postpone closed session and reschedule it, we could do that as well to have her physically present. So, and Maureen, what about Lori? What was the end?
If you decide to go ahead with closed session, then you would just call Lori, 15 minutes or so before, and she'll represent and take the place, and she will call.
Okay. So Todd and Lori could be here physically, yeah. Or if we wanted Todd to be here and Ann call in, that's an option as well. Either way, okay.
Call Ann as well.
Okay.
They would all be able to
participate. Okay. So any preference, any comment? What do people think?
I'm okay with a phone call or Lori?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
But she can
call
in.
Okay.
Is Ann comfortable?
She's comfortable calling in as long as, you know, Ron is resting and all that, and she can get away and make the call in. And if she has to leave, then Lori will be here. So either way, it'd be fine. But I told her I didn't want her coming in. So, all right. Comfortable with that? Good. Okay. That'll be fine. Thank you. When we have a meeting like this, although it's a regular meeting, although it's still kind of a special business meeting, and one of the things I think that works well for us when we're in this kind of format is to think about the kind of norms or ground rules that we want to use for the meeting tonight for the discussion. It's a very specific conversation, and welcome to Mary Fassbender, who's here from Rand Associates. Thank you for being here. And so in the table in front of us are cards reminding us of some of the, or I have them here, the norms. And I'll just list them, and then I'll go ahead and pop them up on the board with whatever ones people want to put up there. And they are, as they are typically, listen with an open mind, seek to understand, we want to honor time, avoid side conversation, suspend judgment, leave hidden agendas at the door. So if there's any one in particular, I can put up there for people. Grab this. Anyone that people want to make sure we pay closer attention to tonight than others?
Listen to one another.
Okay. Okay. Any others? Out of time, avoid side conversations, set judgment. I have one. This is a little bit of a hybrid that I thought of, and maybe this is for Erica, but that would be good for everybody. But I have be efficient in our conversation. And what I mean by that is to be aware of what's already been said. If we want to add something new to it, let's do that. If not, then we've made our points, and let's make sure that we have other kind of points of contact or new ideas that may come up. All right? And if we can do those two, maybe we'll be in good shape. Thank you.
I know that our agenda reads, or at least it's we have starting at 6 o'clock, but I think originally we also had an end time of 8, which didn't include closed session. So I just want us to be aware of that, if we can pay a little bit of attention to time tonight as well. So thanks for being here, and thanks, Mary, and I'll turn it over to you now. We should all have a packet of information that has a blue sheet on the top and then a purple sheet that Mary handed out before we came.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
First of all, two housekeeping items. Number one, Don Kuzmal and I thoroughly enjoyed our 2 days in the district in meeting all of the constituents. I think it was very, very productive, and generally speaking, people were very forthwith, and that's always important as well. And then secondly, I wanted to make certain to thank Maureen for all of her work behind the scenes with the staff at Ray & Associates, and her scanning documents and getting to them, getting them out to the gals so that we could in turn get them to you on Friday, and you had a chance to see the actual results earlier than you typically do. And then I wanted to thank Julie as well for all of her hard work on the brochure that we're going to be talking about, which has embedded in it the stakeholder comments. So having said that, let's try to put these in some kind of semblance of order. I think that'll be helpful. There's a blue sheet, which you might want to bring up first, that's in your pile, and that is sort of an explanation of this report. And the report is this long paper that we have that's stapled together, 3 pages and all, that you received earlier.
Did this get sent to us?
No, when we decided what we were going to get ahead of time, Mary had indicated that only the top quality, the top 10 things were what was going to be sent because they couldn't compile it. It was a quick turnaround.
If you don't have that kind of paper,
right.
So the 33 characteristics.
This is the purple one here. This is the top 10.
So the blue one is the explanation, and then after that is the sort of lavender or purple. And then this long sheet would be the third document. I'm going to set this one aside, which is the comments from the stakeholders, and you certainly are welcome to peruse that on your own. There are a lot of people that did choose to make comments, and I've read through all of them very thoroughly, and I think you'll find them insightful. There were a number of people that made comments in our meetings that didn't get into this because these came off of largely from the board, the online surveys, the ones that are particularly scanned and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We gave you an additional copy of the 33 qualities if you need that. And then lastly, the timeline if you need that as a reference. So let's start with the blue sheet. And this provides an overview to you of the characteristics and the results. Basically, the one that says 33 characteristics, dated October 29th. If you'll turn to the first page of this long sheet at the same time you're looking at this explanation, I think you'll find that to be helpful. What we have across the top of the long sheet are all of the different constituent groups that we met with, and that would be in the first 8 or so boxes, all the way over to public community forum in about the center of that format. And then the rest of them are the online responses by groupings. And we ended up with a total of 112 people that responded. There were 66 online and 46 that attended the groups. I thought anything over 100 would be a great number, so that's great.
I'm sorry, you said how many did we have?
46 in person and 66 online. So 112 total. And then what you see down the far left column are all the 33 qualities. And you have a raw score and a ranking score. And that's true with every single group as you go across. And then if you look over on the right, far right side, it'll correlate the fact that that was quality number one with what it entails, and that's and it says willing to listen to input but as a decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Dan, do you have a question?
Yeah, you said 66 online, but is that online teachers, online administrators, online staff, or is that just online public?
No, you see them broken out at the top there, online teachers, online administrators, online support staff, online parents, online non-parents, and Board of Education, I guess, is in that 66. So really, that should be 59 technically, and then 7 board members, but still totaling 112.
So all 7 responded. That's good.
Yeah, it is great. So what we do, you'll find that there'll be some groups that'll be quite large. Like, for instance, the online parents was the largest group. There were 31 people that responded in that group. So in order to level the playing field so that each group basically gets the weight of one vote, if you flip to the next page, you will see the results with them weighted in that way, where there's only one vote per group, if you will. And what we've done is we've given you the highest scores. You can see where the board ranks by looking at the far right column, and then you can see the combined ranking. And I always think as a Board of Education that's interesting to see if you're pretty much in the same alignment with your constituents, mm-hmm. or if there's some areas where maybe, you know, it's good information for you to know that they value that much higher than you do, or vice versa. What we did was we told the public that we met with that there's nothing magical about 10 as far as the number of profile characteristics. Mm-hmm. We said we typically look at 10 or 12. And in this case, because there were some that were quite close, we ended up ranking some by putting two that were very similar in topical area together and combine them into one. So if you look down the consultant recommendation, you'll see the ones that we're recommending and you'll see what rankings they had. And then if you refer back to this blue sheet, I'll just give you two examples of that. I mean, you're certainly welcome to look at all of those in depth, and I think it's great information. But you'll see that the comparison that we have on the second page, the data for each of the items, for instance, ends up with that combined ranking total. And as an example, AskMe had 7 people that chose the item, and it ranked number one. Another example with the Inspired Trust Self-Confidence was ranked as number 6, and so that gives you an idea of that one. And then finally, in the first two columns, the Education Association, 0 people chose demonstrated ability to work with the media, and thus that item was ranked as 28. So, you know, that's interesting in the sense that maybe that's not their world or that's not their
priority. Well, I think when number one is strong communicator, speaking, listening, and writing, there's an assumption they're going to be able to communicate with me.
Well, and a lot of people struggle with only 10, quite frankly.
What?
Yeah. A lot of people, just to piggyback on what you said, a lot of people said this is really hard to narrow it down to only 10.
Right.
So in their mind's eye, they may have chosen some that are a little bit broader than that,
right.
For that very reason. Mm-hmm. So having said that, then that takes us to this sheet that has the kind of the lavender color to it. And in there, you'll actually see when there are some that are combined. These are basically just in a random order. But for instance, if you go down about to the sixth one, has ability to develop and communicate a vision coupled with the ability to lead a large organization dedicated to the goals of continuous improvement. That's combining 19 and 28 to get that one. And they flow very well together. And then two down from that, the same thing happened. We combined number 1 and number 15 in order to get that one. And so ending up with a total. And as I sat and listened to the meeting, what people had said at the meetings, and as I read the comments online thoroughly, I feel like this is very connected to what I heard.
Mm-hmm. And is this ranked?
You mean, are these in order?
Yeah.
No, these are just your top characteristics.
But they're not ranked.
Well, they're ranked on this page, but in this lavender sheet, they're not in that type of order.
So
the number one ranking was number 15, and we combined 1 with 15.
Possesses excellent people skills and presents positive.
So they're only ranked
district
in
image. That was the first one, Mary. 15.
Yes.
Combined ranking, is that where they are?
Yes, on the second page where it has the recommendations on the far right, just before the characteristics, that's where they're ranked.
So I'm sorry, maybe I'm misreading this, but so the number one ranked here is number 6.
Yes.
Inspires trust, self-confidence in the combined ranking?
Yes, that's correct.
So it is the first one here. Is that right? Or just 6?
Yes, that's number 6, and it's the first one that's listed here.
So
all I'm saying is because of us combining some of them, they're
sure.
not in the order necessarily. And they're not pure that way, I guess you would say.
But they're pretty close to pure.
They're very close to that, and I would say just as a general set of comments, it was very apparent to us that the constituents are not interested in a non-traditional candidate.
Define that. What do you mean?
Would be somebody who doesn't come from an education background throughout their career. Mm-hmm. They're not very interested at all, and that's pretty overwhelming, in a hybrid candidate, which is someone who might have come out of the business community and then got into education, or maybe in the military and then has been in education for, you know, some years. They really felt that what fit this community the best was someone who had come through education and was very experienced in the field of education, and that would meet the needs of the students the best.
There was quite a few comments that had that explicitly called out. I don't see anything referring to on the characteristics. Where would that come from?
Well, there's not one that says, I don't want a hybrid, if that's what you're referencing.
Right.
Because these are leadership qualities that are based on research. These are not things that Ray and Associates made up. They're things that, you know, if you go through all the research, these are the top 33 qualities.
I'm sorry, I guess I answered my number 16 is probably what we're driving.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you do have non-traditional hybrid with background in military, because it's a combination of both,
so
but there's not...
That's what they were responding to, I guess.
So that's one theme. I think the other theme is they really do not want...
I think, you know, maybe some people misunderstood that and thought they were coming right from the military business. I mean, there are people, I know a lot of principals even... around here that were in the military but then have been in education for 10 plus years. I think that's a big difference.
We explained it to anyone that we had in person, but we certainly didn't have the ability to do that online.
Right.
So, you know, you've got the preponderance of people obviously responded online. You know, so.
But I still think it's significant that there's this theme that came out from your face-to-face conversation. At least that people were, it sounds like they were explicit about it.
Mm-hmm. They also wanted someone who has a strong experience in curriculum and felt that the initiatives that you have become vested in are something that you want to continue with and not have someone come in and start basically turning the wagon upside down and dumping all those out and, you know, starting fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelmingly, again, people were fine with getting to another level by tweaking those and making them even better and maybe adding in some more other things, but not, you know, eliminating them and kind of going off in another direction, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. because of the time and investments that have been made.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I am seeking from you tonight is consensus on this document, which, again, thanks to Julie, is the bottom one on your table, mm-hmm. and this is a draft. It certainly can have changes made to it. The first side of this, which is a flyer that would go out as a recruitment tool and also as a screening tool, mm-hmm. has a lot of information about your district, and there's even a little bit of that on the back, but most all of the rest of it is about, on the second page, is about applying, and we've embedded into that our recommendations for the characteristics that you are seeking in a superintendent, characteristics of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bottom half of that second page is information about the application process. So, thoughts
can
about...
I ask questions?
Sure.
Okay. So your methodology here for ranking on the second sheet... You took, let's just go with Gia. Gia's number one was 17.
Working with, experience working with it.
Sorry, Gia's number one.
Was
12. Has experience dealing with employee representative
yeah,
groups.
Yeah,
was number 12. And how's that different than in the previous page where it was number 12 as well as number one?
The difference is... If we just took the raw scores and we added them up,
mm-hmm.
you would end up with larger groups having a heavier weight than groups that had fewer people in them. So in order to get a cross-representation of your constituents, each group received the weight of one.
Okay, but if at the end of the day, if it was number one in GIA, it should be number one in this trip.
It is. If you look at the raw score and then you look at the ranking, which is the second column,
those
on the
should match
page,
one-to-one. correct?
It is number one in their ranking. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah, no, I saw that.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand the methodology.
How many GIA teachers participated?
There were eight.
Was that just the leadership, do we know? Or?
Yes, it was leadership. Okay. Officers and, I think, building reps, council reps, whatever they call them.
And under consultant recommendation, when you say combine, I understand that you put them together so they show up here, so we have 12 instead of 10, quote unquote. And then under recommended, this is what rose to the top.
Mm-hmm, okay. Exactly.
And there's parity, at least from what I can see, but I'm asking the question, do you see parity between what you summarized from the board with what came out of our face-to-face focus groups as well as online? Was there any outlier? Or?
I think there's a couple things that are slight differences. One is a higher ranking than what the board had to do with minorities and having concern about that. But
overall,
I think...
Who was concerned about minorities, the board or the public?
The board was not as concerned as the public was. But overall, I think it was most all of them were connects, not disconnects.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So basically, if we can agree on these, then we would end up going ahead and finalizing this, work with our staff and Julie, and you know, whatever tweaking you want to do, that can be accomplished, and then in turn, taking the word draft off and then getting it ready for us to go ahead and send it out to the associates across the country.
Yeah.
A couple things on this. Mm-hmm. The front page, the second paragraph, in bold, all children what they need, when they need it, that doesn't make any sense to me, unless I'm missing.
I think there's a word. I thought the same thing, Sam. You know the phrase, Julie, is give all children what they need when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling you were just dealing with font size.
Well,
that was my assumption.
Give me some.
Or all children have what they need when they need it. Or whatever.
Or give all children. Give all children.
Yeah.
Whatever. You just want a verb in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. That was one of my notes, too.
And in that same paragraph, middle of the way down, starting in sentence, our elementary transformation is at a critical turning point. We are moving to, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Are we actually doing that, or are we still in the discussion stage in the think tank and recommendations haven't been made to the board yet?
Well, this is my understanding from the presentation, and that was that the literacy STEAM curriculum is part of the Common Core. So we know that that's a given. Because Common Core standards are here, we're already aligning to those. But if your question is around, does this intimate that we're for sure building STEAM labs? You're right. That's still in the planning discussion phase. But with regard to curriculum, I would suggest, from what I understand, that this is accurate.
And
with Common Core.
Right, and that was the way that I read it because it's Common Core and that's here.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, I was glad to see it. I mean, moving to strong literacy, which I think that we've already been doing for many years, but the whole STEAM curriculum, that is part of Think Tank. Though, yes, we have an associated, you know, the dollar signs to it, but it's here. I'd also love to be able to see a candidate who's actually participated and moved a district into using STEAM Labs or has been in a district with them already, so that would be a, you know, an embedded feature.
Is your question or concern that someone might read that we already have a STEM program in place?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just saying.
Right,
that's the way you
interpret
it. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Well, you could change it in front of, instead of are moving, we will be moving, but are moving is a gerund, so it hasn't happened yet either.
Julie, you wrote
this.
What?
Word we
talk about
in a long time.
How. Yeah.
I'm a language.
that was a good word.
It's about the new Common Core, so it really has nothing to do with any changes to our buildings or any, you know, regardless, mm-hmm. we have to, and so I thought that was a pretty safe statement,
mm-hmm.
That we're moving in that direction.
Yeah, I would say that I read it aligned to curriculum and Common Core, which is language that most applicants are going to be familiar with.
They'd expect to see that.
I would think so, yeah. But, you know, fair comment.
You're bringing to it the knowledge that someone reading this without the background, mm-hmm. wouldn't be having the same questions that you have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anything else, Sam, in the language?
I just assume our vision, our mission, this is all comes out of our long-range
right.
plan or
yep.
all of our district guidance.
Right.
So that's
yep. pretty much and I would just go along with what you said in the first one. Give all children what they need. It says a great location in Chicago, so then a diverse community, and...
That's the one I have a problem with. I mean, I don't think we're a diverse community.
You don't?
Huh?
Really?
What do you want to tell people to come to?
No, I mean, so...
homogenous community?
Well, we use the word homogenous in describing the diverse community.
No, we say, it says here, our history is
our
that...
Our history is that of homogenous middle-upper class community.
The but reality is...
Today, more than...
We're not a diverse community.
No, but today, more than 50 languages are spoken among our students.
Smoked.
That, too.
Well, if you look at our report card and the numbers on our report card,
right, I mean,
there are 30% non-white.
Right. The numbers bear that out, though, John. Yeah. I don't know what the definition of diverse is, but...
Maybe diverse student community is maybe more.
Yeah. Where does the students come from?
Yeah.
We're talking about a school community versus Glen Ellen proper or Bloomingdale or Wheaton or whatever. I mean, I understand what you're saying, John, because if you drive down or drive in Glen Ellen, you have a picture of the community, and it's pretty homogeneous. But our school community does not exhibit that.
That might be a fair word to add, and this might be a mm-hmm. very valid point, because the other statistic that I mm-hmm. learned from the area superintendent's meeting was that 80%, a little bit more than 80% of your tax-paying constituents are of non-parental, they're in the non-parental category, so they no longer have students
right.
of school age. So that's a pretty high number. So if you throw that into the greater picture of the overall population, your student population is definitely, very diverse
mm-hmm.
at 30%.
I've never seen how that's derived. I would like to one day.
That 80-20?
Yeah, whatever percentage
yes,
it is. How it was calculated.
Supposedly the Glen Ellen is higher than that. It's 87, he said. Percent, which I thought was
in District 87?
Mm-hmm. I think
this
comes
from the census.
89? Oh, 89.
I think it comes from the census.
Yeah.
So
what is your suggestion,
John,
that diverse
for, this
student
isn't for
community?
Us. Do you want a candidate who reads diverse and then chucks it? Or what do you want? I mean,
all, I thought it'd be nice to include something about special education, because I think that is something that we focused in on. And I think, maybe the diverse student community is better, because I'm not looking for someone to chuck it, but some people may be looking for a diverse community and may look at this and go, oh, great, and then show up and say, I don't know that this is really what they would consider a true diverse community. So I'm not looking at it for someone chucking it. I'm just trying to paint a picture here of what the school district is so that,
mm-hmm.
When they show up, it's what they, they don't waste their time and we don't waste our time. I mean, 50 languages are spoken. Okay, that's great, but
John, can
49
I
of those languages are, three people. Yes.
What I hear what you're saying. I'm wondering if stating diverse student community and then with embedded within.
I think that would be better, and we are clearly very active in special education.
You know what though? I guess the issue that I have with that is. What's every school district is required by law to offer the same programs that we do. So you're going to say
some people outsource it, some people keep it in.
No, they only it only gets outsourced, John, if they don't have enough kids within groupings and within certain populations. That's the only way it gets outsourced. If you have, and I don't know what the number is, but you have a certain number of students, you must keep them in your schools. Mm-hmm. We are no different than anybody else in what we offer. I would say if you're going to throw in special ed, why wouldn't you throw in ELL program? I mean, every school district has special ed students.
Or
every public or gifted.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's unique strands to all of our educational components.
I'm just trying to focus here on what distinguishes us
That's a good way to put it. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But I think the diverse student community is a good suggestion. That's a good suggestion, John, because you're right. If you went through the door of one building, it definitely would not look the same as if you went through the door of another.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're right, driving down Main Street, Glen Island, that is not what you would necessarily see.
But if you drove in Bloomingdale, you'd see a much more diverse community. And that's part of our student constituency group, too. But I don't disagree with that. And I think helps to frame it.
Feeling like adding
Julie, can I ask? Wait, can I? I'm sorry, one second. Julie, and I thought I'd seen it when I read it through the first time. Didn't we have something about the communities that we serve? Because it's not just Glen Island.
Yeah, it's the same location. Yeah. There's a paragraph above.
Okay.
Location.
70% in Glen Island, 30% in parts
okay.
of...
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
Glendale Heights, Lombard,
and
those are five
communities. I'm sorry, not
so maybe, John, when you read it that way, maybe leaving it diverse student community helps to kind of encompass that.
That's true.
We could move that sentence down to the diverse community paragraph if that is helpful.
But, you know, to your point earlier, the people reading this, they don't have the background to discern that. So I feel like that is more of a geographic descriptor than diversity. So, you know, to Mary's question to us, you know, if we add diverse student community, then I think it supports John's comment about wanting to make sure that that's more accurate than not. I'm comfortable with that.
It's more than cultures and ethnicities. It's socioeconomic. I don't know, Ron. Percentage of students that are on the lunch program or something like that, you know, that gives an idea.
I know. I don't know if we need that on a first read, but I think that information will come up when they apply and we have further discussion. But you're right. That adds more texture to it. So do we agree adding a diverse student community?
Sure.
Is that comfortable?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
Do we feel we need the first read here on the positive core? I don't know.
Wait, where is that?
So we've got our vision, our mission, our positive core. I mean, will anybody really know what that means? I like the learner characteristics. I just don't know our positive core. Is that more kind of an internal thing?
John, every single piece of paper that goes out has the positive core on it. That
mm-hmm.
is
it's been
like,
adopted as part of our
it
brand.
Is. And so it's
I don't know if it'll mean anything to anybody, but I don't mean it's fine.
Well, that shows to me, as a former superintendent, it shows to me that you clearly have a very orderly strategic plan with all of the key components of that plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, that would be big because you could apply for a job where none of that's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work.
So, in other words,
we
if
make
we're
a difference, we embrace change. We are a true team of professionals, and we build the future.
Right. So, in other words, Mary, what you're saying is to have this listed here, it flows back into mission and then ultimately into vision.
And it flows ultimately into the organization.
Okay.
And the direction you're heading.
Well, that's good to know.
I'm
okay with that. I think it's fine. I think to Tara's point, it's been a big part of. CIT and the work that they've been doing last year. I mean, we all weighed into this as well. The board did.
The requirements, this won't limit us to just people from Illinois. This sentence here, the candidate must have or be qualified to obtain. In other words, could we hire someone that doesn't have this certificate and then they can get it while they're here?
Yeah, that's why the second sentence is there.
So that's what that will translate mm-hmm. to people in this industry. Like, mm-hmm.
Many of them are reciprocal from state to state, not all, but many of them are.
And what does it take to get this? If you don't have it, what does it take? Is it say a 1 week course, a 6 month course, a 2 year?
It varies from state to state and where the reciprocal agreements are and how much of them aren't reciprocal. Most of the contiguous states to Illinois are fully reciprocal. So basically just put your money down and apply for your new certificate in Illinois. Some of them from states further, again, they vary.
Is it ever a 2 year process?
No.
A 1 year process?
Is it on the job?
I can't speak to whether, you know, specifically, but it's not a 2 year process, but it could involve some coursework and taking the, it definitely would involve taking the state test. Mm-hmm.
So that would be something that we would vet with you once we see the applications that mm-hmm. came in and have to
Well, and you
those.
Would have to let us know if, you know, if it involved a lengthy process, you know, don't even bring that to us as one of the top 10, that person.
We'd have to see what we get. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I was wondering if it was like a 2 year process. I might say that, but if it's, sounds like it's a 6 month or less process and maybe a couple courses at the worst.
Usually, if someone doesn't have that, then the board would have to have, the district would have to have someone sign off for the period of time in which they aren't fully qualified to make that kind of you know, signature. And that's easy enough to have happen.
Okay. And my last comment was. Again, I mean, I'm just looking at this for the first time. But, is do we want to communicate a sense of priorities, or do you guys feel that's here, or is that for a subsequent conversation? I mean, there's a lot on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything we want to communicate in terms of priorities that we think should be on here? I don't know.
What do you mean by priorities?
Priorities, things we want to prioritize. Over the next
What do you think would attract a candidate that wouldn't otherwise be attracted to apply?
Yeah, what might they want to see?
Well, I mean, clearly we're trying to move along a master facilities plan, mm-hmm. right?
Maybe that's up here, John, a little bit in this like taupe colored.
Yeah.
Where it says ambitious long range plan in place, demanding, collaborative, rewarding environment, knowledgeable, committed board. Highly professional employees. I mean, this gives. I wanted to say that I really liked this piece because I think in a succinct way it gives a snapshot of what that superintendent will be walking into and be expected to, you know, to lead.
Several things stood out to me. If I was a candidate, I would go through every ounce of information I can find on your website. And you have your strategic plan on there, and it outlines all of that very clearly mm-hmm. and succinctly. Has a lot of information about an overview, your comps with other districts in terms of where you are academically. Mm-hmm. But the things that stand out to me would be that, and then in the second paragraph, you make a very strong statement, our students perform in the top 6% of the state. That's going to grab a lot of people right there, but we are not satisfied. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a key piece, the piece that says that you have all your you know, pieces in place regarding the strategic plan and then your overview along with just looking at your website and, you know, gleaning other information about the district, I think would be very beneficial.
So the intention, maybe to answer John's question, thinking about this, the intention of this is we want to grab someone's attention. This is a selling piece. And we want to get the right people to then be interested in going on our website and digging deeper so that they can decide, is this a place that I want to apply? So this is really, this is the grabber.
That's one way that people will make that determination. Mm-hmm. They certainly will do all their homework, and we certainly will recruit people that we believe
right.
to be a mass based on the characteristics.
Okay.
So you'll have kind of a three-pronged thing will be going on.
Okay. Drew, you haven't said anything. What do you think?
I really don't. This is
good.
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I like pretty much everything I see. The only question really is the salary and benefit question, which I guess we're
right, which we'll get
later.
Into in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The first piece is to see if we can get consensus on this and on the traits, if you will.
So with the changes that have been made, some language changes, words here and there. The way it's laid out, we good with this? Sam, you good? Dan, okay?
Is the best way that you process things for us to work together in creating those little tweaks and then send that back out to you so that you can see
just
it?
Just to eyeball it, I suppose, yeah.
Once you have that affirmation, you can send that through Marine so we're not violating any email confidentialities.
Yeah.
Or you can send it directly to me. And then from there, we will go ahead and get it published.
Well, why don't we establish that so that...
Dan had a question.
It was on the other comments. Where were the other... You know, so we have the opportunity in filling this out to write a different trait on the sheet. What is that?
Say your question again.
So we had the 10 traits you could pick. But if you wanted to choose a different trait, you could write it on there.
Well, what, it didn't so much say exactly a different trait. It said if you have additional characteristics or traits, you know, please list below. And what most people chose to do was just make comments. They didn't really pick other traits.
So where are the board ones?
They should be in the separate piece from this. I can't say that unequivocally, but that's what typically happens. They would be included in the total there.
You mean our verbatim comments? Like, I made comments, like you probably, right? So you're wondering where these went?
Well, I just didn't see. I had added them. I didn't see it in here. So I was wondering.
You didn't see it in here?
Yeah. Does anyone else see theirs?
No.
Well, I didn't put in traits, to Mary's point. I just, you know, kind of supported my choices.
Like, one of mine is acceptance of uncertainty, the ability to jump into the unknown. That was, but, you know, I mean, that's not going to make it on this list because I got one vote. So.
Yeah, except that, you know what, to your point, though, the seventh one on this purple list, it says it's comfortable leading innovation and reform, so I kind of see that as change initiative and being willing to or able to.
Well, actually, that was one of my top characteristics. This one to me is different.
Yeah, but to your point, John, if it's one, it gets subsumed into,
I guess I can find that out for you, Dan, but there may be some thought that, because this document, some of the people in the stakeholder group wanted to know if they received these comments, and I said, I can't address that, that's a board decision. But, I mean, if they became public and maybe there were things on there you didn't want to be public as a board member, then I don't know. But I agree with you, I don't see it. Because anything that's typed came off of the online, and anything that's handwritten came off from the face-to-face meetings.
Yeah. Like creativity was another one of mine.
Okay. So, agreement on the draft with the changes? Sam, yes?
Yeah, I think we still owe a salary.
So far, yeah.
Well, we gotta, that's our next conversation. But we want to agree to the content with the changes. So you'll make them, and then Maureen will send out the correction, the revision, and give us a deadline to turn it back to you. Let's not go to you, Mary. Let's just do it in-house, and then you guys can be the one-to-one.
Well, I would say that it probably, based on their needs, great associates.
Because they're going to be doing the final one. You're right.
Yeah. So I would say tomorrow.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
it has to,
So you'll send us.
Can you maintain your timeline? It can't.
Oh, yeah, what am I thinking? Tomorrow. Today's the 29th.
Right.
So we'll get this first thing in the morning, take a peek at it.
We're talking about
three.
No, I think I don't even think we need to do that.
Stuff.
I think Julie can handle it. That's her job.
Two or three changes.
Just a couple words and then putting whatever salary language.
Right. I think so.
Okay.
Is there a
that's
way
fine.
To
you be the editor.
Yeah.
Let the two of you work on this then. Julie and Mary. Yep. Okay. With agreed to changes. And then we're going to move into talking about salary range would be the other correct change. All right. Well, thank you, Julie. It's excellent. Excellent work. And I'm glad you had the response.
Two?
Yeah, topic two. Go ahead.
It's always the elephant in the room. So I'll say that up front and get it out there. I know that you labored hard and long in deciding to hire Ray and Associates, and I believe it to be based upon our experience and also our ability to deliver, if you will, national candidates. I think that's an important piece to each of you. And as you saw tonight, we compiled through the information that we received with all your constituents, what they value, if you will, in a new leader, along with what the board values, based upon the survey and the interviews that we conducted. Our next task, then, is to match the top candidates, if you will, with your board and constituent preferred profile, and then present those to you so that you can do the initial paper screening. I have a strong feeling, as I am in this district, and now I have been for several days, that it's very clear that this district values and wants transparency in this search process as well, or you wouldn't have involved your stakeholders, you wouldn't have had your conversations in public. Some boards we come to have this dialogue in closed session, even though they have to make a decision once they come out in open session. But, I mean, it's all over the board. So you clearly value that transparency. I feel like having your salary in a regionally competitive listing is the best way for you to, again, attract the highest quality candidates. You know, you have as a stated goal that you want to be one of the top districts in the state and nation. And I think there's a definite correlation between what is paid in a salary and who will apply. And the reason that putting a salary figure is important in this is that there are some candidates, I don't know myself if I would apply for a position if I didn't know what the salary was, because in today's market with real estate, it's a major commitment to say that you're going to make a move for yourself and if you have a family and a cost associated with making that move. So you have to know, if you're just making a lateral move, why would you make that? Because there's an expense associated, and now instead of making yourself into what you consider to be a promotion, you basically made a lateral move, but financially you've dug yourself into the hole. So I think having the salary, and I can tell you I spoke to our team today in preparation for tonight, and in the 37 years that we've been doing this, what we found is that most candidates will not move from their current position to another position unless it's a significant salary increase, for those very reasons, because there are costs associated with it. Typically in the range of $15,000 to $20,000 more than they're currently making. It's also our belief that, and when we talk to other search firms, by listing a specific salary that is regionally competitive, we believe that you're going to have the most experienced candidates of the highest quality. And if you don't have that, there will be some people who will not apply because of either what I just outlined or because if for some reason the salary isn't competitive, they don't see that as the next best place for them to be. We've had an outstanding track record in being able to work with the board and the superintendent candidate in being able to finalize the salary and the contract in working through the district's law firms. So for all of those reasons and for the information that we discussed and shared earlier with you, which had to do with the area comps, we would recommend that you put this salary in the range of the highest you believe you can in order to be regionally competitive so that you don't run the risk of attracting someone who is not, and you end up with all this work that you have done ends up not continuing to reach those high levels that you aspire to. Mm-hmm. I would say, based upon the information you were given, which were this year's salary figures, which was the average of 236,201, you would need to be above the 236 range because all those people are going to end up with incremental raises for the coming year. So that average in the year in which you're having this person sign on the dotted line is going to have increases across the board.
Did you guys bring that sheet? I mean, I'm looking for it. I know you gave us that sheet. Can you make us? Is it here? Can you make
that? Yeah,
does anybody else? Is anybody here, else missing it other than me? Is it? No, not that one.
I don't have it.
Could you please? Thank you. You had yours. I thought I had it in my folder, and then
I
yeah.
did we have that before, or was it here tonight?
Was that our meeting on
Wednesday? Yeah, we discussed it, we handed it out, and at some length we went through it.
And I thought I had it in my folder.
I think it was the meeting where Erica was on.
I called in, yeah. That was what it was.
Just so we have it as we're looking through.
Sure.
Ta-da. What is this called? Salmon?
Salmon.
Salmon colored, yeah. So, to summarize what you're saying while we're waiting for the sheet, there are some ads out there that don't have a salary listed for maybe any number of reasons. The board hasn't decided what that is, but they want to get the placement out there. They choose not to. They say your language, which was a regionally competitive salary and benefits based on qualification, et cetera, so it's more generic. And what I hear you saying is that if you do that, you're being less efficient about building your applicant pool.
You're doing that, and the other thing that you run the risk of, and I've seen it happen both personally and from this position, this seat, if you will, is if you don't make the decision and get it out and have consensus on it before the search process begins, you run a very high risk of at some point getting across purposes of the search. Maybe you get to the pool of 10 or 12 that we hand you, and then a decision is made about what the salary is going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's not what people believed was regionally competitive because they did their homework and they know what superintendents in this area are being paid. Mm-hmm. And therefore, people withdraw from the candidacy because it was advertised as regionally competitive. Yeah. And they made some assumptions based on data that they gathered about the region and the superintendent's salaries within it. And you have a disconnect, and people just walk away because they're like, hey, that's not what I expected and believed.
So your recommendation is $237,000 is what we put in here?
Well, I'm saying that would be my minimum recommendation because, again, these are a year, you know, this is this year, mm-hmm. and the salary is next year.
So I guess we have to ask ourselves, would we be willing to pay somebody $240,000 for this job? That's the starting point.
Right.
It's salary alone, right? Because the way this is broken down, it's salary plus that of the package, right? That's what we're
right.
Just mm-hmm. so we're clear, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
I had another question. So superintendent contracts are either a one-year or multi-year, but it has to be performance-based?
Superintendent contracts are either, yes.
And is that something that usually... a first time, you lean one way or the other, or candidates are more interested in one.
The preponderance of searches that we do are three-year contracts because we're very confident in the people that we have screened, and that's the way you're going to have the greatest success also in attracting people is a long-term commitment, particularly where this is an election year, so the person basically 3 months hence potentially could have different people that are serving on the board than the group that selected the individual.
So 3 years would then dictate it's a performance contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to me 3 years makes sense just because if we're going to ask someone to move, we got to have some sort of. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean there's not an out every year, but
right.
I think you got to put something more than a year. I guess I would say.
Yeah. One of the things that I like to do, I don't know if it's my father's banking background, but I mean I like to give boards an idea of what the overall salary would be in terms of your budget itself. And a salary that would be, and I went high and you know then I went mid, but a $250,000 salary would be 0.00275 of your overall budget. So not even half of 1% of your budget. This is somebody that you're talking about leading the district, representing the district, keeping you out of legal entanglements for the district, I mean, basically, the CEO of this organization. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you put it in that perspective, it does frame it somewhat.
Mm-hmm. There were some comments in here. Was there any discussion to that point?
There were some comments in there about the salary being lower, but we also had some comments that were not included in those written things because they were from the individual meetings where we asked questions. And we had at least two groups who said, the board needs to pay this person. And then you had a couple comments that were in there that, you know, were the converse of that. But there were at least two groups. One was a parent, who was a man and a wife, married, that were in our last evening group, They were very vehement about that. And they pretty much stated what I just did about this being the CEO of a large organization with our children, and you get what you pay for was, you know, the bottom line to them. Mm-hmm. This is not an area where you need to start scrimping, was the comment.
So I guess for me, where I struggle with that number is, you know, if it goes in here as that number, I feel like, I just feel like we're making a commitment where, you know, if I look at your sheet, right, if I got this person from Whitefish Bay, you know, I'd probably get them for $200,000 or $190,000 or $205,000. And they might be an excellent candidate, or the person you guys saw that gave that presentation that you guys liked, mm-hmm. who was, you know, $160,000, right? So that's where I'm struggling, is just to say, hey, automatically the job is $240,000.
Well, that's not what this is saying, and it's saying in the range of, and it's certainly giving you the latitude to go either way from that, and I've seen it happen. Some boards who are not as transparent as you like to kind of play with the public a little bit and have the salary be a little lower and then end up paying an annuity, but it's all salary, mm-hmm. and it's all coming out of the right. same pool of money, which is the budget. Mm-hmm. So, but there are some people who want that too as a candidate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the unknown in some of those things, and the cost of living obviously is a big factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I looked at this afternoon, in the salary and benefit section, I crossed off that first sentence and I wrote in compensation package will include salary and a comprehensive benefit package. So I was uncomfortable with putting a number in there at all. And it's just where I'm coming from, and any job I've ever applied with, it's always said salary commensurate with experience. I mean, it's just as simple as that. This may be different, I don't know, but when I was thinking about that, I had forgotten about your sheet that I just found. So I did a little search on my own, which was just me on the internet, and I thought of all the districts around us, and I just started typing them in. And curiously enough, Patch did an article today about administrator compensation, so it made it a little bit easier for me. But man, I went through John Perdue at 89, his salary is 201. Meeson at 87 is 211.
No, the new guy's 215.
Larson. 215.
Yeah.
So I guess some of this could be wrong. Mark 15. Lauren May.
He's retired. Mm-hmm. That's an inflated salary.
That's on there. That's the 318.17.
Yeah. 309.
Okay. They won't pay a new superintendent over 300 to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay. Labrador 44, 209. Queen B, 16, 165. Wheaton, 200, 195. Brian Harris, I guess.
He came from St. Charles, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Was he the superintendent in St. Charles?
No, he was not.
And that's the big thing here. You talk about these people relocating. That's the thing here. You're looking at a sitting superintendent at the end of their career coming here? Or like I talked to you about, are we looking for an assistant superintendent looking to be a superintendent?
Well, and that's
there's a difference.
Right.
There is a difference. And by putting a number out there, you know, to John's point, if we like someone who's an assistant superintendent making $150,000, I mean, that's crazy money to bump them up $120,000 to take the job.
And
you don't have to do that.
That was one of my characteristics, was I was looking for someone that would, in theory, be here 10, 20, 30 years. And so, you know, if I want someone that's going to be a long-term superintendent, then I'm seeing them more a little earlier in their career. You know, I don't want someone that's going to be here, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You want someone that's going to be at the helm for
Would you... Back to your point, Sam, do you want to frame, my recommendation and that of the Ray Associates would be to put a number in, and we're basing that on not only our success in doing so, but other firms telling us, how do you get these great candidates? And we tell them, because A, we do X, Y, Z, but we also indicate the salary. would you be more comfortable, back to what Steve and you are saying, is to frame that so that it doesn't distract anyone from applying who's an assistant superintendent or a cabinet level position, but pretty much indicating the salary at that height is for somebody who has superintendent experience. So you see what I'm saying? You're sort of cordoning off a portion of that, and I think that could be worded in a way where it would still be attractive to both.
I see what you say, but I'm not sure I'm convinced that we have to pay the sitting superintendent $237 a year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would like that more than what it is now, but I'm not sure I'm 100% convinced that that's the way to go either.
And you're currently at like 250-ish with Ann.
All right, she said 245.
By 245 with...
Mm-hmm. The end of a retirement contract.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, in this case, no more than one.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I feel like part of our conversation
is... Are you implying that we're going to have a superintendent until they retire?
No, I was suggesting in the way this is worded in the actual ad, you know, the flyer, was to put it, to reframe it in a way that would make it clear that the number that you put in for salary is superintendent experience. And others who were applying that didn't have superintendent experience would be in a range that would be less than that. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to carefully word that and wordsmith it, but I think it's doable, mm-hmm. and it addresses what I'm hearing from two or three of you as a concern about having it be too high and, you know, wanting longevity and then having it over time be really even bigger because of that bump annually. And what I appreciate that. I understand that.
Yeah, and it's important. What I was going to say is I think it's important for us to also realize that I feel like we're going down the road a little bit further than we maybe need to, knowing that this is all negotiable. Like, I don't see us putting a number out and being wedded to that. I see it as an attraction for a position where we want certain qualifications, which are listed here, and that, I guess what I'm hearing you say is, in order to do that, A, we have to put a number in, and B, it needs to be framed so that people understand that there's an up and a down to it, which I'm not uncomfortable with. And, you know, I would rather get, you know, more applicants and have to vet those than, you know, get into this and look at our timeline and we're looking at a pool that is not going to meet our standards, but certainly it sounds like not going to meet the standards of the stakeholders who came in either.
Right, and if you choose to put no number in there, which again is not what we would recommend, then if we have people contact us, we can't give them any indication of
right.
what you're looking at even for a range, because right. that would be a breach of confidentiality and not something that we would do.
Right.
So, I mean, we can't say, well, you know, if the person says, well, is it at least going to be X?
Right.
We say, you know, I really can't tell you that because the board has not made that decision.
Yeah.
And you're definitely going to have a group of people who are going to say, well, yeah. I'll check out another one.
And, John, if we want to, I'm sorry,
no,
if
I
we want to, to, you know, move this search in the direction that you have been advocating from the very beginning, that is a national search, then... I think we have to be smart about how we word it, and you know, I like the way you framed, you know, what Sam's concern is there. But we want to give ourselves enough, you know, room to get really good candidates, but then be able to vet the ones that make sense to us, that meet the qualifications, meet what we're hearing from our constituents. But at the same time, we're not setting candidates up to think that we're not being honorable either.
Right.
You know, there's three or maybe even more pieces to this.
Well, only you know what you did in Anne's last few years of her contract as an incentive to her for her retirement. But if you went back whatever number of years that was, 3, 4 typically, and you said she was at this point, and then you're going to just give annual raises as opposed to retirement type of raises, you know, maybe that gives you a better reference than mm-hmm. the 240-something.
Where we are now, yeah.
Well, I think there's a couple criteria here. I think, and I don't know if we all agree with this, but I think we're looking for someone to be here minimum 5 years, possibly mm-hmm. up to 10 years. That's I think, in other words, I don't think we're looking for someone that says, I want to retire here in the next 3, 4, or 5 years. I mean, I think we're looking for someone that's a 5 to 10 year person, or 5 to 15 year mm-hmm. person, right? But someone that has a little more longevity, let's say 5 years, probably closer to the 10. I think.
So you would rule out a superintendent who's reached full retirement in another state that's just looking to come here?
I wouldn't rule out.
No, but that remember. Depends on what right. they, what they would sign.
This isn't black or white ruling out. This is, I think, what I'm hearing from the group. If you disagree, then offer your opinion on it. But I think we're looking for at least 5 to 10 years, right? I think we're looking for someone that has some experience or has demonstrated the ability to step into this role.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need a salary associated with that.
Yeah.
Right? So, does everyone agree that, is anyone saying, I want someone who wants to retire here and leave in 3, we want to hire someone that's going to be here 3 years, is anybody?
No, but I mean, I feel like we're doing what ifs, and we don't
well, I'm trying to put it
know that, context. But the context of what you're saying, I don't disagree with. I think it'd be great if we can have that kind of minimum, maximum.
So,
and
for me, the fact that they're here that long, and maybe this is wrong thinking, is you know, if we put a number like 240 and someone's here 10 years, that only goes up.
Yeah, but John, we're not saying we're going to pay them 240. Let's not get hard and fast about this. We're talking about a range, and we're talking about potentially framing it so that there's qualification, i.e., this is with superintendent experience, this is, you know, a lesser range without superintendent experience. Right. So then Erica, who is an assistant superintendent, could look at that and say, not going to be over here, but I'm making this, and I am not going to move unless I can earn another $5,000 a year or whatever my number is. I mean, there has to be some reality check for people, especially, I mean, I'm going to go back to it again. We want to do a national search. A number is critical for people.
Can I just go back for a second? Because I'm hearing what you're saying, and right. I think we're all in agreement. We're looking for somebody who's, I don't want to say the long haul, but who's in it for the long haul, because we've got a lot of major projects going on that we need somebody who's going to stick around, see our projects through, wherever they land, who's going to lead us, pick up the ball from where it is right now, and keep going. I'm a little uncomfortable. I think the 240, well, first of all, let me put out there, I do believe we should have a number. I absolutely, that's what you are telling us we need. That's what you believe we should do. When I did a little searching online just to kind of have a framework for myself as to where other search firms and where other searches are, and there are numbers out there. So I think that part of it's important. I guess the 240 number feels high to me for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. So I guess I go back to the initial conversation of us was the range of 200. Now, range of 200, so that can mean anything. It can be above. It can be below. Mm-hmm. And based on the comps that we've been given, based on 89, 87, our locals, a range of 200 is we're where everybody else kind of is. I mean, mm-hmm. with the exception of the 300, we're kind of where everybody else is. And when we say range of, and to me, that general language says that it's within our prerogative. If we have an assistant superintendent who applies and they're coming in, we can go under 200. Yet we may have somebody coming from another state, a superintendent retiring, and I'm just going to use Purdue as an example. He retired from Iowa and ended up coming here. So here was somebody who was a lot of experience, but coming from a place where he, you know, his salary requirements were not quite the same. So we have that room to move. And again, at the end of the day, it is our decision. I like the language of regionally competitive because, again, you know, that's what it is competitive around here. And these comps, a range of 200, again, wherever we land.
So what do you like better, a range of 200 or a range of 180 to 220?
Oh, I don't think you want to frame it that way.
So you like
I hear what you're saying, but I don't agree that regionally is going to be 200. I mean, if you look at this list, kick out the 318. Nobody else on there, except for the next to last one, which is in New Jersey, is at 200. They're all above that.
They're all above. Right. But when I say, I mean...
Not my wife fit that.
Well.
No, I said kick out the top and the bottom and, you know, the 300 and something, because that's, Steve and I talked about that. You know, I always like to kick out the high and the low. And then
right, to see what's in between. Yeah, mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you, I guess, 200 and 205, I mean, I guess I don't see that. And I guess I'm bringing us back to where we started this discussion a couple of weeks ago was mm-hmm. the 200 range. And range of 200, and I think that's where we as a board were struggling with how do we get to that number. Mm-hmm. Some board members were completely fine with it, others were not, and then to go from range of 200 to 240, I'm like, did I miss that conversation? Because I don't recall that ever. I mean,
but we were not saying 200 the last time we were here and having this discussion with you. We were sharing these numbers and recommending this number that you see, which is 236.
I understand it, Mary.
A year hence, so.
But mm-hmm. and unfortunately, this board is already not listening to what you're telling us, because you're telling us 235 or 236, and we're already telling you we're not there.
No, but mm-hmm. I'm suggesting that based upon your circumstances, even though that is what the number proved, let's discuss and go backwards from there and realistically say, what was Ann making X number of years ago, and pop out all the other things that you have incented and see if you're not closer to where you want to be. But there's no difference in having candidates apply than picking houses. If you have a house at 199 and you have a house at 240, you're going to have very different houses. And you're going to have very different candidates that you attract if your number that you put in there is in the range of 200 compared to in the range of something higher than that, even if it's 225.
But I think the fear that I have, Mary, is at the end of the day, is this board going to be comfortable with over 220? I mean, I don't know that. I can tell you that this board of seven is extremely different than the board of seven who hired Ann. So that actually does not help us to go back and look at Ann's contract.
Okay. Good to know.
Because this is an extremely different board.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have if we found a great candidate and everything was fine, I don't have a problem paying. I'm just struggling with this 240 number mm-hmm. right from the
beginning. Well, John, you and I chatted one night because I called you to pick your brain about how the search ran the last time and blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the conversation, I remember we were talking and you said, you know, if we put a range down but we get this candidate who's just a star and can literally, I mean, I think from what I'm hearing and just some of the verbatims that I peeked at, that people are expecting, with the high level of productivity in the last few years here, that we're going to have a superintendent walk in and there's going to be a seamless transition. That's a lot of quality in a candidate. But, you know, we kind of both ended up at the same place where we said, if we get a star and it needs to be at that level, then the board would be able to support that because the person would be, that's what they would exemplify, is the level that we need to have them at.
You'd be criticized a lot more highly if you pick the number that you're going to put into here and it's 200 and you paid somebody 225 or 230 than you would if you put a number that was whatever it ends up being.
Has that been your experience?
Oh my gosh, yes. You'll be royally criticized.
So what might, just for frame of reference, Ann's starting base was 210, and that was seven years ago.
Yeah, 6 years ago. Six will be seven.
I mean, by the time she's done.
Okay.
What was Dr. Rushmore making when he left?
222. Where's he at?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not what he's making this year.
Barshinger's on here. Isn't Batavia on here?
Yep.
When he left District 41, what was he making?
I don't know. I wasn't on the board then.
I thought it was like
129 in Batavia.
190 or 185.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
That's like a decade ago, if you remember, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember. But
yeah.
I thought it was under 200.
Yeah.
He had other pieces.
Yeah.
Do what?
He had annuities.
Yeah, he had a different.
Yeah. Yes. So you responded yes. You see a huge difference. So how might?
If I put a number 240, I'm going to get better candidates.
Right.
But I mean, there's no doubt about it. I put 300, I'm going to get better candidates. If I put a million, I'm going to get better candidates. You're going to get better candidates.
Right.
It's
but
our appetite.
Right. Right. And the appetite has to be about what we think as a board. It's our duty to be responsible to the search and build the search so that we're getting the right candidate. And I know that there's this pull and these voices in the community, as all communities, about wanting to manage costs. I mean, I get that. I went on the Glen Allen Forum a few weeks ago and I saw the whole thread that started last June, July, August, and the whole bit. And, I mean, it was interesting to read. So, I mean, we know there are voices out there. And so, you know, in the end, we have to be comfortable that we're at least, at a minimum, kicking a search off to have it be successful from the get-go. And not, how did you put it the last time? You know, if it's a sniffing, you know, if they take it and don't even sniff at it, then all of this is for naught and all this time is for naught. So this really sets sets the tone for the board to want to do the best search possible. So what is that number? And we need to be able to leave the room and be able to say to folks, it's not our intention to overpay. It's also not our intention to underpay and not get the best candidate. We have to find the best candidate based on where we are now and how much we have to do as a district.
Well, then to me, that would be, the number would be 200, because if we can swing one way or the other, then if we find someone who is an assistant superintendent somewhere who is a star, mm-hmm. we can pay him more. If we find someone who is an established superintendent who's been around a long time, we can pay them a little more. Mm-hmm. So we can go up or down. So I don't want to start at the top, because if you put a high number in there, people that are going to expect that's what they're going to be paid. They're going to have a bad taste in their mouth when they read some literature that says 236 and we offer them something less than that. They're going to say, well, what?
So in other words, when they say range, they don't see that as the midpoint. They see that as a start point.
I would say that. Okay. You're not going to say a range of 236. You're going to say 236. But if you say a range of within 200,000 or however you want to state it, mm-hmm. I'm much more comfortable with that than
okay.
just a number.
So given what you said, this was a different board and a different time, and Ann started out 7 years ago at 210,
right.
put mm-hmm. that in focus for yourselves
mm-hmm.
and how many years that is of raises and increments, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to arrive at some bid figure that's not 240 and it's not 200. Honestly, if you want quality, I'm more than willing and happy to work with you and frame the other thing that we talked about with Sam and Steven. I think that's beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Superintendent experience versus cabinet level, somebody coming in. Different mm-hmm. place, obviously different salary, and so forth. Mm-hmm. But somebody coming out of state, I can tell you unequivocally, always coming to this area will have utter sticker shock. Utter. Mm-hmm. When they look at cost of living. I mean, they will sometimes almost just cave right in and say, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Drew, you haven't said anything. What are your thoughts?
Two things. You know, I guess, Mary, you're the expert. I mean, your recommendation to us is in the 240 range. Right. I mean, that's your recommendation.
That's my initial recommendation.
To the board. That's your recommendation as our hired expert for all those reasons. Would it make sense to say something in the 200s? Is that, are they splitting hairs? Is that...
Well, that's you could go from 200 to 299, obviously. You know, that's a pretty broad... figure. It doesn't serve the same purpose as I outlined. When you do put something in and then you frame it, maybe it's 10 grand on either side of that or 15 or whatever it is,
yeah.
But it's different to somebody looking at it, obviously.
Okay. So you wouldn't have the same impact, you don't think?
No, I don't.
Okay.
That's a good question.
One of the things that I look at, too, is, you know, like we said, this is a 3 year, so it's a performance contract. You know, I guess my preference is to have a performance contract that has real incentives tied to, obviously, real goals. You know, so like our last one had a 3%. So I'm not opposed to paying a higher amount, but as long as there's a big chunk of that is a performance, you know, like...
It should be. I mean,
20%.
Yep.
Not the... Here's a big chunk, and then give it this, we're just going to 3%.
Right. It's not a given.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So I think that's where part of the community might be a perspective might be, like, hey, you're paying this big salary, but, you know, it's there every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's something the board can enumerate on it with the public, is mm-hmm. the fact that his salary is, you know, performance driven, and it's not an automatic annual incremental raise. That's what many teachers' organizations are going through right now, getting rid of that automatic step for living and breathing. And no one likes it, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to pick up on what you said, Dan, if we're thinking about this again with perspective, and Ann came in here at 210, coming from a current superintendent position, so she was a seated superintendent, so brought that experience, and then was tasked by the board to develop the long-range plan, which we did not have. So when I think of that 210 and all that has happened in these 6.5 years, almost 7 years, you know, naturally, so now, you know, her coming in was here. She's raised the bar here. We're certainly not going to hire somebody to start here. We're going to be asked them at a minimum to come in and pick up and continue to move up. And again, what I'm hearing from the community is that that's their expectation. So please, you've been digging into the verbatim. So if that's inaccurate, then tell me. So I feel like we have to, as a board, respect what we're hearing from the stakeholders who came in, and made the time, came in, put their thoughts on the table, and be aware of that. So, I mean, it's easy sometimes to say, well, let's start here because we're already here with Ann. Ann's salary is off the table at this point. I mean, we're starting with a different person, but we're not starting with different expectations. We're starting with them coming in, picking up, and then moving up. So for me, that's a big piece. And I'm wondering, if I'll just throw something on the table, if there's a way to find a minimum to speak to the desire not to, you know, put it all on the table. If, in fact, to Sam's point, somebody's going to say, well, if I see 236, that's what I'm going to start negotiating from. But put in a range and use this language, you know, potentially under regionally competitive, which allows some wiggle room. But put us in a, 215, 220 range, and that would give us setting some expectations. I'll say 220 at 220, which is more than what Ann came in, but we're expecting that we're going to get highly qualified candidates for that.
It's only 10 grand than what you came in 7 years ago.
I know.
I think that's doable, along with framing it, with somebody with superintendent's background versus somebody who's cabinet level.
Yeah.
And I certainly would hope that you would respectfully consider that, because I think you're definitely going to end up with a better pool of people.
Well, I certainly don't want to waste our time or a candidate's time. And, go back. We hired you because you have national expertise, and certainly we're looking to have you use that network for us. So if we're not even going to incent somebody from a, state with same kind of high expectations, has done tremendous things in their district, a district our size, but not even look at us because they see a number that's not commensurate, then it's not worth doing any of this. I think we have to be realistic. And as a board, be able to go out and give this message. This is what our constituents said. This is what our advisor is saying in terms of the search firm. We're comfortable with this.
Once there's a number in there, when we have candidates that contact us, then we can say this is not a hard and fast number. What that means is it could be higher and it could be lower.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was saying.
And that's that personal touch that we offer through our associates, where we will be having those conversations with anyone who's applying.
Because they will ask that question.
Oh, they will ask that question, absolutely. What does that mean? And we can clarify that. We can clarify if we choose to put a piece in there about cabinet level versus soups experience. So I think there's a lot of things there that could be to the district and the board's benefit, mm-hmm. in having that number be as high as possible. I mean, boards always take heat for whatever they decide.
Right.
Some corner of the world there will be heat. We all know mm-hmm. that. The question is, you're representing people, and this is one of the most important things you're doing. You're going to spend a lot of hours with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm less worried about the expectations, because eventually there's a decision made on who we are and how much we pay, and then that's when the real heat is. This isn't heat to me. Mm-hmm. It's just making sure that we're not putting something out there where we get a bunch of candidates and this board says, well, there's no way I'm paying anybody $240, and then we got all these $240 candidates,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we're like, okay, we got to start over, right?
We have to be honest with each other right now. You're right, John.
Right. And so the heat thing I don't care about.
Well, I'm not hearing too many 240s now, so I'm kind of retreating to the point where I can get it to the next level that I think you can live with and you can accept, and I can still deliver the best pool of candidates to you, because that's my charge.
Can you deliver a decent pool of candidates at 220? 225? What is it?
I hope so.
200?
I think that's definitely going to diminish the pool.
What was your number?
200.
Yeah, and I'm not willing to diminish the pool. I've been down this road before, and you got what you pay for.
Does saying an average of 200 versus an average of 210 or 220, but 210 to me sounds more like that's the number versus 200.
I was hoping the number was going to be in the 220 something more.
So do you think 220 sounds more like a fixed number than 200?
I don't think it sounds more like a fixed number. I think it sounds like a bracketed number with the same parameters where candidates contact us and we tell them this number could be slightly higher or lower than this.
So if you said something to the effect of compensation will depend on experience, superintendent experience averaging 220 or cabinet level experiencing averaging 200, I mean, would you put two numbers like that or separate them?
I've never seen that.
I mean, I personally want good candidates. I don't want to lead them into a number that this board refuses to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like we need to start at 240 and say, we'll pay that, 230, we'll pay that, get to some kind of floor to put a stake in.
That's a good approach.
Yeah, that's fair.
We do thumbs up, thumbs down.
Okay. So, 240. I can't be there either. Sorry, Mary. 230. 225. I'm comfortable with that. 220. Oh, that's right. I could stay there. Yep. 220, 225.
There's a fifth one.
Well, it depends on, again, a sitting superintendent, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Right.
But it's, again,
I think
it's
that's
that
our
point.
Cost. Yeah. When that comes in.
But this is to attract candidates.
Right. I don't want to just see sitting superintendent resumes.
But that's our but I think that's the point we're making. We're telling Mary, or asking you, we want to see we don't just want to see those candidates. So, but here's the thing, we have to we're assuming assistant supes are going to apply. You're going to tell us how many of those actually apply, if any, and do those assistant supes fit the qualifications that our constituents and we as a board said we wanted to see. Mm-hmm. We may get more of those than we get with somebody else. We don't know.
Right.
But if we're, five of us are sitting here saying 220, to me, we're done. Because that's a...
So I'm sorry you have to deal with us.
So I thought Dan and Sam, do you think we can do a national search? Because you wanted a national search. That was a big deal.
Absolutely.
Right.
Answer your question.
For 220. Less than, for 200, we're going to get
absolutely
a great superintendent for
national
search.
I mean, if you look at the cost of living in a state of Texas or Arizona.
Montclair, New Jersey, John.
Huh?
Montclair, New Jersey.
Hey, taxes are cheaper.
Okay, wait. Time out. Okay, time out. Getting the five of us were on the same page for 220, so don't go to 2.
But this is it's a
when you say national search, John, you're not talking the boonies.
I mean, we're expecting you
Texas,
to reach out to your associates and look
Arizona,
for comparable districts. So,
Georgia.
Districts that are collar suburbs of metropolitan areas with the same kind of expectations and standards. We're all going Common Core. We know what the requirements are in order to support that. It's a lot.
Common Core. I'm sorry, but Common Core is not going to be a driver for me.
Well, it may not be for you, but for the leader of an organization, I mean, we're getting off topic. So
okay, so can we go back though to?
Can I go back to Steve's question? Because this is, I think it's an important. We don't just want sitting superintendents. So I have a question here: are we missing something here by not stating that we are looking for a long-term relationship here, of a minimum of 5 to 10 years?
You can't say that; it's illegal.
Yeah. You can't.
Desire.
Sorry.
We desire.
Our desire is to find a candidate that.
One of my favorite questions
yeah.
of people is where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? I can ask them that, and they can honestly answer. I get your same result, but it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
And I will ask it.
Yeah.
Because people don't expect that kind of question. They just tell you.
Yeah. This is a stepping stone for blah, 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 or
exactly.
Whatever.
And
yeah.
Others say, I want to find a place where my family can reside, my kids can be there, and go all the way through school into high school.
But John, to answer that question though, that's Mary's job to vet that for us because we can't ask that question.
I'm not worried about the heat of the number.
No.
I just want to make sure, which is I think where Steve was, what his point was.
Mm-hmm.
We put a number like 220 in there, and we only get these sitting people that have been around for 20 years, and that's all we get, and we don't get the hot shots that.
Well, then that's Mary's job and her associates to be reaching out to their current contacts to find those star assistant superintendents and say, we've got a job for you, and here's why you should apply, and here's the range. Can be below, can be above. That's their job. So I get where you're going with that. I'm not worried about that because you know very clearly what we're trying to accomplish here.
We had 5 people that were at least palatable with 220.
Yeah.
So I'll go back to my performance thing again. If after meeting performance objectives, the final salary was 220, I'm talking
the first year salary.
The measurable goals, stretch goals, whatever. But if that's the starting and then we're adding on performance, then I can't support that. But if we're saying
you cannot?
Not if it's gonna start at 220 and only go up from there.
Well, I think most candidates are expect that they're going to have an incremental increase unless there's a pay freeze in their work environment for everybody.
I'm talking about the performance.
No, they would be 220 the first year, and at the end of that year, you would end up deciding what that performance was. You're not going to get a bump just for living and breathing when you arrive.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we're disconnected or not, but that would take an entire year to make that evaluative judgment whether they had met the performance criteria. Mine were set on the dashboard, very measurable, very easy. They were up there. Easy to understand, very measurable.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for all my administrators.
And Dan, to answer part of your question, we've said this before, we may or may not start at that salary. It's a range.
And maybe in your mind as you're looking at it, and depending on who we end up getting, again, you could make that adjustment to based on your performance goals because they have to have them. But we're trying to come up with a number to get.
So let me ask this: if we change the sense to say the salary will be, or we want it, a performance-based salary will be in the range of 220 plus compensation. Maybe that gets to your
commensurate with experience.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
always going to be something about salary.
Right. It says will be negotiated and determined.
You have an up to commensurate with experience, which always lets it. That's what I see most jobs.
Well, you that's the second sentence.
That's what the second sentence.
Commensurate with mm-hmm. experience.
Right. Right. The second is the qualifier.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess the two concepts. One is introducing this that the final performance based salary will be negotiated and determined.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if that helped answer your question, which is there's a salary, but then there's a performance base,
right.
Which could kick you up to 220, which
right.
might include benefits or annuity or whatever.
You think it's important, both of you, to put the word performance in there, or just when you're negotiating a salary, let them know it's a performance base?
It's the law in Illinois.
Most people's are
it's
now,
not,
so
yeah.
I don't
so
know why you need to hit that drum
yeah.
real hard
no.
when you're trying to attract people. I think you just, that's an assumption.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just simply negotiated it that way.
Right.
Who's your law firm? Robin Schwartz?
No, Franzik.
Franzik? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so are we comfortable with 220? Again, it can go below it. It can go above it. We'll negotiate that. But it's a way to to get the kind of candidates we want, and knowing that we both want seated superintendents potentially, but also some stars in that
cabinet
assistant
level.
Cabinet level.
I am wavering a little bit. I'm a little nervous about that for the reason I said.
But you just said you're not worried about the hotness of it.
Which means, Mary, it's important that if we do have, these up-and-comers, that we just don't get sitting mm-hmm. superintendents, that,
mm-hmm.
That's important to us.
Yeah.
I think we can make that known, but if you feel more comfortable, especially Steve and Sam, whose idea it was, to put something in here about that, we
sure.
can try to wordsmith that.
To frame out, superintendent...
Well, I don't know. Also, I'm assuming
you know, we're getting a consultant that has a network that kind of knows who's out there, that you're getting people to, who aren't actively looking for these, to apply also.
We do.
Yeah.
We do both.
That's what I consider a headhunter to do.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
So for the purposes of attracting the pool, listening to the advice, I get, you know, I'm a little nervous about it, but I think I could go with 220 with the understanding that we just don't want those candidates showing up.
You're not nervous about this from a constituent standpoint? I mean, we're hearing what people are saying.
No, I'm worried about it from delivering on the promise of 220.
Right, okay, well, that's Mary's to do.
You know,
and I hear her saying that they can do that.
We can enumerate that. Once there's a number in there, we can say this salary can vary either side of this number based upon what you can do, which is your qualifications and your experience and
so
performance.
Okay. I guess it's important, though. Does anybody have a problem with that?
Well, we just have consensus. I mean, we...
Well, right, John. I mean, I obviously just have a problem with it, but people don't, so we have to do something.
Right.
So.
But I think, and we also recognize, to Sam's point, is that we may land on that number and we may not. It's all dependent upon the candidates that come in the door
right.
and how we vet them. So that's my comfort level with it. I want to get good people in,
right.
and then we can decide, are they a fit or not? I mean, ultimately, that's up to us.
One last question, and I'm not trying to stir this pot again, because I think
I'll
we have a number, but, but one last question, and I would hope this would not occur, is you don't want to find yourself, you've got your top three candidates on that semi-finalist round, and you've had three nights of dinner in a row, maybe the spouse is there, maybe not if there isn't one, and you've made your decision after we do the last forced choice matrix, here's our top candidate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the time to be so far-ranging from if you have, we have knowledge of where this person is currently and start doing that little squeezing the dime kind of thing.
But that's not a question, though, right?
If that person does have that experience, they do have that background, that's not the time to say, well, even though you've been a superintendent and you've got this experience, we're going to go at 200.
That would make us, at a minimum, a disingenuous board. And I would hope that the seven of us, you know, would be respectful of that process and not do it.
I'm just saying, because
it's a fair comment.
And now you end up with two candidates.
I mean, that was my question.
You
end
up with one
candidate. 220, would everybody here be okay with that?
Yes.
If we had the ideal candidate, would you say, no, for me, I'm not paying 220?
I think it's a little early to answer that question.
It depends on what they're bringing.
Yeah.
That's what Glumberg paid their new superintendent.
$215.
It's what Glumberg. You're not willing to pay the same that Glumberg paid their new superintendent.
Glumberg 87.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, I wouldn't, if the Whitefish Bay person came here, I wouldn't.
Well, but no, that's not what we're saying, though. We're talking about the same caliber person coming from suburban Minneapolis, where this guy came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're trading suburbia for suburbia.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I assume we're going to see is stuff from suburban Detroit, Minneapolis, Indianapolis, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's such a wild card. I don't know.
Right. So we have to go with the advice from our expert.
Google searches I've done, like some of the more innovative people seem to be actually these inner city people that are got so many issues they're dealing with, they just creatively try to solve them, and they're probably not making a ton of money.
But for society, isn't it better that they're there? That's what I always wonder when you think of the minorities. It's like, is there a pool that every district could? It's like, aren't they better off?
Well, here's the good news. We don't know who we're going to get. But we do know now, I think, that we've landed on a range that is comfortable for
the majority,
of the board, recognizing the kind of skill set we want to bring in the door via application, and also sharing our expectations around, cabinet-level seated superintendents so that they're aware of what we're looking for as well. And that's your marching orders in terms of finding those.
No, I'm clear.
All right?
Did I hear that performance-based was supposed to be in the line?
No, you said not to put it in because it was something that's pretty much been
understood.
Yeah.
Except for the guy in the White Sox shirt.
Okay. Anything
you, right. You guys are unhappy with what they're paying District 87 Super?
I don't know anything about them, so I can't.
Yeah.
I don't either. But 87 is a different district, different enrollment. lots of different things.
Yeah. I mean, what do you mean different enrollment? Size of enrollment is not a determining factor. It doesn't scale by salary. I guarantee you that.
But the expectation, what you're saying is, I mean, we know what our expectations are, and I think that's where my comfort level is with this. So, you know, and I think, Mary, you, I feel like this has been a good conversation so that you're clarified from this past week of seeing our constituents. You've heard us restate several times what the needs are, so I think we move forward with that.
And I just want to just double check before, because we have this superintendent, the search process and timeline. Mm-hmm. We are on time, guys. We are forward. We are on target.
Well, does everyone agree with these top 10?
Guys, that's what our...
Yeah, they're 12, actually, yes.
No, what our
we've already moved on from
already
that.
We've already moved on from
we
that.
We did that.
Yeah, we're
good.
Moved on from there.
Agree
we're good.
That that's what the survey results are? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
no,
that's
what we personally don't agree with them. I mean, what can you do? They're the results.
Well, yeah. Okay, so we're good with this.
And, Mary, was there another question you would ask Maureen or Julie and I about, I think, when we talked on the phone about, did we have the LinkedIn? Was that
right.
One?
They need to approve the LinkedIn, yes.
Board members, did we? I know we briefly.
Because that hasn't been determined whether you posted that ad or you didn't.
I, and I just wanted to ask you guys because I'm not. I didn't.
There was a discussion about it.
We started. Yeah, we had talked at the board meeting about briefly about you know a LinkedIn ad and if that was something we felt we should do. Was there value in it?
It's It says here $195 to post the job for 30 days.
I think LinkedIn is a pretty powerful tool.
Is it just in, to your point, John, is it just LinkedIn to education groups, or is it all LinkedIn?
No, it's business also.
Well, that's how some people use it like Facebook. That's why I don't, like Drew, like I didn't link you back. You're not in my industry.
Right. Yeah, so you use it as a discrete, if you're in my industry,
right.
I link you in.
Right, it's
not
Facebook to be, just because I know you doesn't mean I want you in that. It's a very industry. Yeah.
I don't want to be your friend. What experience have you had with it?
We've not really had much at all with people using it. But that's not, I mean, it's relatively new, so that's not to say it's negative. We just haven't had people choosing to use it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very powerful because what it does is, you know, it says.
Opens up another.
I may know somebody who's looking for a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may not know it. Nobody else may know it. Maybe a friend or superintendent.
Yeah, I've had good luck with LinkedIn.
Some industry.
Yeah, I've had good luck.
So the bottom line is this something that we want to advertise?
How much is it?
It's $195 for 30 days. So do a 30, $195.
What?
$195 for 30 days.
I mean, I'm willing to pay $192.
I've had good luck with LinkedIn. I think it might be worth the, you know,
definitely open
it up. People want us to... Go ahead and advertise on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm good. Let's try it. Just for 30 days.
Okay. We're good.
So 30 days. Got it.
And okay. Maybe tell us how we're doing with it.
Thanks,
Mary, thank you very much.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
One more question on the flyer.
Did
you want to see it again?
No, because I forgot the timeline. Tomorrow we're post. This is it.
Right.
We got to go.
I'm sorry.
Did
so
need a new timeline or
you're all set? No, it was the green sheet on the bottom. So I just want to make sure that we stay on target with our timeline.
Yeah.
So, and so we won't see you again, Mary, until January, right?
Right. And just remember, January 17th, which is the day you need to circle, that's a very, very long meeting, minimum 4 hours.
And I'm going to remind all board members that in the event that the 17th, you guys begins the, if you don't, you're in or you're out. So,
what booth are you guys at?
What does that mean?
Pardon me?
Well, we're trying as much as possible to have all face-to-face.
I don't know. Maybe
stuff.
We should. I mean, it's 6
get
o'clock.
As much as possible.
I'd say at the latest 6 o'clock.
Okay.
5:30 might be better because at the end of that, we have to do the forced choice matrix, which says these are our top
John,
six.
Check your calendar.
5:30.
Huh?
Maureen's going to send the invitation to us tomorrow.
What day of the week?
Put it in.
5:30.
That'll be
Monday.
John,
but you'll send out
an invite. It's a Thursday.
10:30, yeah.
Somebody will send out an invite?
Yeah.
I have 4 to 8. What is 5:30?
I have no idea.
Like I had it on my...
The time's not in here. I just have 6 o'clock because
well,
we always start at 6.
Too. I mean, if people can get here by 4, I'm just respecting that that might not be possible.
Well, we have CAT at 4 o'clock that day. But,
Is that enough? I have the iPhone 5. I'm still using this.
That's the first big one.
Yeah. Okay, so be clear.
And
leave time.
And just know that I won't bring my whistle and little striped shirt
right.
that night. You will be looking at your pile of 10 candidates independently of anyone else. There's no talking.
Right.
So I kind of referee that.
Okay.
So that at the end of the day, we all come together. And your constituents love the fact that that's how that was coming down.
Mm-hmm. Good,
they
good.
They respected
good.
And thought that was excellent.
I was going to say, I actually had on my calendar already the 17th from 5 to 10, but you guys are saying five people can't get here by 5 o'clock, so.
I can't be here.
Okay, so 5:30 to 10:30. Let's just give ourselves that five-hour block of time
okay.
so that we.
Soccer.
Okay. But 5:30 sharp. Okay, got it.
All right, thank you, so
Mary.
Much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Maureen.
What about the?
Or at least you don't play like you practice.
No. Okay. And second.
There's a series of meetings
that so we have on the 17th our marathon meeting, and then 2:20. Thank you, John. January 25th, 26th, interview semifinal candidates, first round. January 26th, meet with consultant following the last interview. And then the 30th, 31st,
finalist.
First and second
finalist.
Constituent input. And board interviews the finalist final candidates.
Just say that we did announce to your constituents there would be some other way that they had input, but the board would be determining what that would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, it says constituent input, so yeah, got
I
it.
I said it might be TN Crumpets, I didn't know.
Okay, yeah, which ties in nicely, if I can just say one last thing. I kept this article, it's not an article, it's an op-ed piece, but it was, I don't know what the date was, but it was from the Daily Herald, and it was about when the new superintendent was hired from Glenbard, because they got dinged on it. And it says, the new search for a new superintendent in Glenbard High School District 87 was done behind closed doors. I'm not sure that's accurate. It wasn't to me. I was part of a community group.
It
done behind closed doors. Yeah. You know, the announcement of the school board decision was made early last week after the deal was closed. I think that piece is really important, is that we continue to gather
we'll
that constituent input.
I
yeah.
think it's important. They
yeah,
want to
absolutely.
Want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm just
okay. I'm a pack rat with that stuff. You know that. Okay, the board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters. Collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations, thank you, Mary, concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed
motion.
Session?
Second.
Oh. Roll call, please.
Here.
Let Maureen call.
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Kenwood,
yes.
Mr. Vondrak,
yes.
Mrs. Howard,
yes.
Mr. Black,
yes.
Mrs. Nelson.
Yes. The board will not be taking action when it returns from closed session.